Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from Premier Jason Kenney as he gives an update on the vaccine rollout plan and a better idea on when restrictions could potentially be eased again. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone right now is Jennifer Vardy. And Jennifer, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes, and there may be a few people listening in saying, well, who's Jennifer? You are officially the third person to announce their intention to run for one of the six Ward 1 council seats in this upcoming municipal election, joining Sandy Bowman and Joseph Mugato. First off, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. Maybe just to start, for those who are new to the community or just haven't had a chance to maybe meet you in person or just know who you are, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a longtime community member here in the RMWB. I attended Father Mercury High School. I went to university here at college here at Cano College. I've worked for a few of the First Nations and Métis Nations in Fort McMurray. I was with the Fort McMurray First Nation as their director for 6 years. And this year I started as the manager of government relations for the Fort McKay Métis Nation.
Okay.
So I've done a fair amount of work with our Indigenous communities as well as our rural communities. I was a resident in Anzac for about 4 years, pardon me. And then I recently just, me and my husband just bought a place in town in Fort McMurray, Ward 1. And some people may know me from my volunteer experience. So I sit on the Regional Recreation Corporation Board of Directors. I'm on my second term with them. I'm the chairman of Rural Relation and Engagement for the Wood Buffalo Arctic Winter Games. And I am the Treaty 8 representative for Indigenous Early Learning and Child Care for the whole Treaty 8 region.
I think that's a pretty big resume right there. And when I mentioned that someone's a long-time resident, I really like to emphasize long-term resident or long-time resident when you say you went to high school here, you went to college here, so you've really been a long-time resident.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen the community grow over the past 15 years, and I like what I see. And I'm raising my children here, and I'm hoping to advocate on behalf of people of Fort McMurray here on our council.
All right, so let's branch off into why specifically you wanted to run.
A few reasons. One, as I said, I'm a longtime resident, and I've seen the development of Fort McMurray over the past 10, 15 years. I remember what it was like as a youth growing up in Fort McMurray, so I have that perception. And then now, as a mom, as a taxpayer, as an employee volunteer of Fort McMurray, I also see how there's gaps in some of our services, and I feel that we need more advocation on the human services kind of standpoint. Human services is my background, early learning and psychology. So what I would bring differently to the RMWB leadership would be that human services aspect. when I was young. I had a daughter very young at 19. I was a single mom. I relied on our Wood Buffalo housing. I utilized social services. And I know how important it is for people who are struggling to have advocacy. And I hope to be able to bring that to our community and advocate for our family.
Okay. Are there any other, I know you mentioned that there were a few gaps, specifically you wanted to, you know, see so-called filled, human services obviously being the big one. Are there any other concerns or issues that you have maybe noticed that you want the next council to address?
Absolutely. Responsible spending and looking at our community every year as a whole. Every single year our community changes and the needs of the community change. So making sure that our budget reflects what we need. So for example, a big one that's been talked about is flood mitigation and fire safety and making sure that we have those preventative services. And spending the money in prevention versus retroactively. So when we live, obviously, in the north, and weather can be so unpredictable in terms of floods and fires, and we are at a higher risk. So I believe that preventative spending could be useful to make sure that when we do have those natural disasters, if you will, that the effects aren't as severe as we've seen in the past. And then hopefully our community can bounce back a little bit sooner than what we've seen in the past.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Jennifer Vardy, who's announced her intention to run for one of the six Ward 1 council seats in this year's municipal election.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Yay.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Jennifer Vardy, who is the third person to officially announce their intention to run for one of six Ward 1 council seats in this year's municipal election, joining Joseph Mugato and Sandy Bowman. And before the break, we were talking more about Jennifer's main priorities, that being responsible spending, focusing on making sure flood mitigation and wildfire protection is, you know, a priority, but also making sure the gaps in human services are filled, as she did share some of her experiences dealing with some of the different services.
I think it's safe to say that the next council that comes in, COVID's still going to be probably the main topic for, you know, the first part of the term. What have your thoughts been on how this current council, and obviously, I guess, their leadership when it comes to COVID-19?
You know, it's so, my opinion about what our council is doing is it's such a hard topic. We have the regulations coming provincially of what we should do. And then there's very little leeway given to our municipality, but I really do believe they have done a good job. I was a very, and still am, a strong supporter of the mask bylaw. I do believe that we should do our part to keep our family and our neighbors safe. So what I've seen so far, I definitely support. I do think that there's room to support our local businesses more to make sure that they are able to survive COVID, especially how we see it's going to be a lot more long term, unfortunately, than what we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure, because, I mean, we had our local businesses suffering prior to COVID. So doing our part as a municipality and a leadership to make sure that they get through it.
Now, you're the fifth person I've talked to when it comes to this election, three for Ward 1 and two individuals running for mayor. And the one thing that really kind of keeps popping up is that this next council really needs to focus on, you know, a new Fort McMurray that too many people are holding on to, you know, the so-called past. And I think a lot of people, you know, have gone to the point where, you know, the boom days are probably not coming back. Do you think the next council needs to, you know, kind of focus on that and maybe try to find a new, I wouldn't say a new, the oil sands will always be our identity, but maybe expand off that?
Yes, I agree that we are no longer Fort McMurray, the oil city. We need to expand. We need to find not a new identity, but we need to shift the way that we see ourselves and that the way that Alberta and Canada sees us. And I think that a part of that is getting new leadership in. People who have new ideas, people who have diverse backgrounds. We need to get people around the table who have new and exciting ideas. Some of them will work and some of them won't. And we need people who are willing to really run with the ideas that are working and know how to say, okay, this isn't working and we need to go back to the drawing board and maybe not scratch an idea completely, but adjust it to make it work. You know, we're not going to have one person come onto council that'll change everything. We really need to have a dynamic group, a dynamic team that's going to help Fort McMurray grow to the next level.
All right. Well, before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
I'm available on the social media pages. I'm going to be updating my website here to the RMWB page over the next week. So if people do have time, please follow me on social media. Reach out to me there or email or text, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Once again, that was Jennifer Vardy, who is the third person to officially announce their intention to run for one of six Ward 1 council seats in this year's election. If you're looking for more information about Jennifer or any of the other candidates who have already announced their plans to run, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from Premier Jason Kenney as he outlines the province's vaccine rollout plan, as well as gives an update on when restrictions could potentially be eased.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Jennifer Vardy, who is the third person to officially announce their intention to run for one of six Ward 1 council seats. If you're looking for more information about Jennifer or any of the election's candidates, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. Now we're going to be hearing from Premier Jason Kenney as he gave an update on the vaccine rollout plan here in the province, as well as when we could potentially see restrictions start to be eased again.
I've said before that we are in a race between the vaccine and the variants. Right now, the variants are winning that race. The third wave is hitting us hard, and cases continue to rise sharply. Last week, Alberta implemented aggressive but necessary measures to keep people safe and to protect our healthcare system by returning to step one of the four-step framework to protect the health system and reduce the rising spread of COVID in our province. These measures are designed to buy us time to get enough Albertans vaccinated so we can finally get through this thing and get back to normal this summer. Vaccines remain our best hope. We have, I believe, one of the best programs in Canada, and I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, more than 850,000 doses have now been administered. More doses means catching up to this variant spread, and once the vaccines beat the variants, we get our freedom back. I shared this slide last week, And it's worth highlighting again. Every day, tens of thousands more people get gain immunity to the virus through the vaccine rollout. In the coming weeks, we'll be able to say that almost a quarter of Albertans have some degree of immunity either through the vaccines or from prior infection. By the end of May, it's expected to be almost half with that level of protection. And by the end of June, we anticipate that about two-thirds, and by mid-September, almost three-quarters of Albertans will have protective immunity. We're nearing the end of a long and tiring journey. It is our path to recovery and freedom. Right now, we're in a transition period, fighting to keep control of the virus just a little while longer until it's vanquished by vaccines. As more people become immune, we'll be able to get back to normal faster. When about half of us have immunity, we're hoping to be able to raise capacity limits for gatherings. We're anticipating that we'll be able to gather together in larger groups, and while some restrictions may remain, but not anything like right now. Once two-thirds of us have immunity, we'll start to feel back to normal. There'll be no formal restrictions, stampede, sporting events, other festivals will be possible, especially if outdoors, likely with certain public health precautions. Masks and distancing will be part of our lives, but only encouraged and not mandated. Then, once three-quarters of us are immune, we expect we'll be fully back to normal. But all of this relies on the supply of vaccines, and thankfully, it's finally increasing. In the last couple of weeks, Alberta's received more than 500,000 doses of vaccine, and we expect to receive another 250,000 this upcoming week. With supply increasing, Alberta's government is expanding distribution of doses at a record pace. In the last week, Alberta's undertaken multiple steps to increase vaccine distribution. We fully opened phased 2B to more than 650,000 eligible Albertans who have underlying health conditions. We opened bookings for the AstraZeneca vaccine last week for Albertans between the ages of 55 and 64. We opened phase 2C to more than 240,000 healthcare workers with bookings starting this morning. And we opened rapid flow-through clinics in Grand Prairie, Fort McMurray, Red Deer, Lethbridge, and Medicine Hat. And I'm pleased to announce that today we're opening huge rapid flow-through clinics in Calgary and Edmonton. I joined Dr. Hinshaw and Mayor Don Iveson to tour the Edmonton Clinic this weekend at the Expo Center, and it's a sight to behold. Supported by hundreds of healthcare workers, both the Calgary and Edmonton clinics will be able to administer up to 1,000 doses per hour and 6,000 per day in each of those two mega clinics. This is a huge addition to our vaccine program. In addition, we now have more than 1,300 pharmacies and 103 immunization sites administering the vaccine, and more coming on board in the coming weeks. The province is now on pace to administer more than 300,000 life-saving vaccine shots per week. Our stretch goal is to administer upwards of 500,000 a week, but all of this will depend on how many people come forward to get vaccinated. And particularly, we're concerned about potential uptake on AstraZeneca. So we'll have to wait and see, but the capacity will be there to deliver. We expect to receive more than 119,000 doses of Pfizer vaccine every week until early June, when this should jump to more than 225,000 a week. We'll also receive more shipments of Moderna vaccine and hope to get the first shipment of Johnson & Johnson vaccine by early May, though we're still waiting for a specific date from the federal government. The benefit of that vaccine is it's a single-dose protocol. As more doses arrive, we will keep accelerating our rollout. Starting today, select participating pharmacies will also be allowing walk-in bookings for eligible Albertans aged 55 to 64 for shots with the AstraZeneca vaccine in Edmonton and Calgary rather than just by appointment. Over 684,000 Albertans have now received at least one dose of vaccine, helping to protect them from severe outcomes and reduce the spread of COVID-19. Alberta Health and the Alberta Medical Association are working together to incorporate physician clinics into Alberta's vaccine program. We'll have more to say on this soon. all adults in Alberta will be offered a first dose of vaccine by the end of June, provided that those doses arrive as scheduled.
Once again, that was Premier Jason Kenney giving the latest update on the vaccine rollout plan, as well as potentially when we could see restrictions be eased once again. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.